not go there.
Paul Jackson. Thought my turn never would get here. We have a wonderful theme here. I was looking at the front of this. It says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ." And that ought to be the attitude of every person, and especially every one of the Lord's preachers. When you start preaching yourself, you start wasting your time. And you start dishonoring Christ. Some of you may have heard this message before, but I'll try to make it as good or better than the last time you heard it preached, if that be the case. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me. And I do not take it for granted. I am on pins and needles every winter, waiting for that call. And so I was just thrilled and overjoyed that you invited me back. Now I'd like for you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, Colossians. And the theme on that front of that bulletin is basically what I want to preach tonight to you. I'll just read this one verse so you can probably figure out this is not going to be an exposition. One verse of Scripture found in verse 11, Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. The title of my message tonight is Christ is All. When you read and you meditate on these words, just those three words, Christ is all, you have to realize how profound a statement. Isn't it amazing how God can take three words and make something so profound that we can't even fathom what it is? But then we are also amazed that He allows us to study and meditate on these things and glean some blessings from it. This is not something that should be taken lightly. Christ is all. Amen. And I found it interesting that Paul, even in this one little book, used the title Christ 24 times. And you know that the Apostle Paul must have loved his Lord so much. And it's certainly a true statement. Christ is all. And the reason that name, the reason that the name of Jesus has not become obscure, like some other famous people that have gone in the world, because He's all. The name of Jesus, you know, there's many authors and philosophers and famous people that were famous once that if you were to name them, most of us probably would say, well, who's that? But there have been more books written, more poems written, more sermons preached, more conversations made about this name than any other name in all history or that ever will be. So there's four things we want to notice here. First, Christ is the essence and the substance of the whole Bible. And secondly, He is the essence and the substance of God and of worship. And He's the essence and the substance of divine love And hopefully the Lord will give me grace to be able to explain these. And fourthly, he is the essence and the substance of salvation and eternal life. Yes. If the lost sinner, if you're here tonight, will learn the meaning of this statement and believe it and embrace it, it will be well with you. If you do not learn and believe and embrace this truth, then there is no hope for you. Because your hope of eternal life lies in Christ. Other religions may be fine to live by in this world, but they're not much to die by. Only Christ can give eternal life. And one must have Christ as his Savior. If the child of God will make this truth a basis of your pilgrimage through this world and the essence of your Christian practice, then the grace and love of God will be manifest in you and through you. Since I've used these two key words here, essence and substance, let me take just a minute to maybe define it a little bit. The essence actually means an intrinsic or essential nature of something, or the indispensable properties that serve to characterize or to identify something. And I believe I've got this from the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. The intrinsic value of water is that it sustains life and will, and it sustains life not only in plant life, or it sustains life in every creature that God has created. Paul explained to Timothy the intrinsic value of the Bible when he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works." And substance is that which is a mass or occupies space. You know, a pillow consists of more than just a pillowcase. And so it is that which fills the pillowcase that is the substance of it. I know this is a simple little illustration, but maybe it works. Christ is not only the indispensable element that serves to characterize God, but is actually God Himself. Colossians 2:9. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So let's talk about these four points, if I can do that for a few minutes. Number one, Christ is the essence and the substance of the Bible. John 5:39. "Search the Scriptures," Jesus said to the Jews, "for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And then Acts 10:43, "To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Luke 24:27, as Jesus spoke to his disciples there after the resurrection, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." And so it is the essence and the substance of the Word of God. You know, God revealed Christ to Adam and Eve as he covered their sinful nakedness in Genesis chapter 3. Noah's hope in Christ, what Noah's hope was in Christ as he sheltered him in a time of storm, Genesis 7. Job looked forward to seeing Christ in the resurrection. Job 19. Abraham saw Christ in his own son. Genesis 22. Jacob saw Christ in his son. Genesis 49. David saw Christ on the cross. Psalms 22. Isaiah wrote of him in chapter 53 as the suffering substitute. Daniel the prophet prophesied of Christ as the coming prince. Jeremiah and Zechariah saw him as the king and the branch of David. And without Christ, the Bible would have no heavenly value whatsoever. Amen. Now the Bible certainly has literary value and historical value. But those are earthly things. What is important is the fact that Christ is the essence of the Bible, and without Him it has no value, no true value at all. There are many books on history and literature, but they're not sufficient to save. Christ must be in the book. John declared, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Therefore, Christ is all in the Bible. Secondly, Christ is the essence and the substance of God and the worship of God. Colossians 2:9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." John 10:30, "And I and my Father are one." John 14:9, "Jesus saith unto Philip, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now, Christ Jesus is as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. And as Scripture says, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I do not hold to the Jesus-only theology. In other words, that Christ is the Holy Spirit and is the Father. I don't hold to that. I believe it's an incorrect theology. But Hebrews chapter 1, if you would like to turn to that section, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, "God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, verse 8, without reading the whole thing, let's look at verse 8. "But unto the Son He saith," that is God, "Thy throne, O God," that is a testimony from the Father and the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is God and equal. "Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." And so, as the Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, He said to her, He said, "You worship you know not what." There's so many people in the world today that have no clue what they're worshiping or why.
That's right.
And that's what He was saying to her. You really don't understand true worship. If you just grew a ceremonial motion, that is not true worship. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the only way to worship God in spirit and in truth is through Christ. So the religious world has many gods and many ways to worship those gods. Catholics don't need Christ. They have Mary and the Pope. The Mormons don't recognize Christ as God. They have Joseph Smith. The Jews do not need Christ. They have the law. Islam do not need Christ. They have a Muhammad. The Christian religion, and I may be saying this a little bit loosely, but you understand what I'm saying here. The Christian religion is the only religion on earth that truly worships the one and only truly living God and depends completely upon Him for the salvation of the soul. You know, most pagan worship don't even discuss salvation. It's not even in their equation. But we worship our great and sovereign God by means of, because of, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for us, Christ is all. Amen. Thirdly, Christ is the essence and the substance of divine love. Now, you and I only have selective love. Anyone that says, well, I love all the people in the world. Now, you don't love all the people in the world. How can you love all the people in the world? You can't. Our love is selective because we're in the flesh. And also, we can't even have selective love without sin because of the flesh. Now, I'll tell you, I have to be honest with you. There's some people I love more than others. And there's some people I don't love at all. My love is selective. And my love is also indiscriminate. My love cannot be indiscriminate. Somebody comes to my house to harm my family. I'm not going to say to them, brother, I love you, but bang, bang, bang. I'm going to say, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Goodbye. If I have the opportunity. Well, so we're not capable of that indiscriminate love. But listen, we have a God that's a sovereign God. And notice, God's love is both selective and indiscriminate. Without sin. God loves His elect. Only His elect. And He loves every one of them the same. Indiscriminately. So it is selective in its scope and it's indiscriminate in its nature. He loves all of His elect without distinction. You and I are not capable of such love. Romans 5:8. I love this verse of Scripture. I love it. But God, who commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's selective, indiscriminate love. So that makes Christ all to me. Fourthly, Christ is the essence and the substance of salvation and eternal life. John 14:6, most people know this verse of Scripture. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that definite article, I am the way, the truth, the life. That definite article there makes this statement an absolute statement. If you say to one of your children, go to the cabinet and pull out the oatmeal, there would be no use for that child to go look in the closet or under the bed, because the word "the" makes it absolute that it's in the cabinet. And they're not going to be pulling out the Cheerios and something else, because that definite article said the oatmeal. So you see how that works. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, and this is the record, this is the record now, here's the record, people, that God hath given us eternal life. Not only that, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Now here is a absolute statement. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. You know, it's as simple as that. Just that simple. That's an absolute statement. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall see life. That's absolutely true. He says, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Hebrews 1:1-3, we've read that passage, so I won't read that again. Talking about our Lord Jesus being what He is. Jesus Christ is the essence and the substance of salvation and eternal life. Matthew, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 11 with me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. I know we often quote 28 and 29, which is a wonderful passage of Scripture. But we ought to read the previous part of that so that we get a better understanding of why and what Jesus said and why He said it. Notice, verse 23, Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, by the flesh, that is, and by mankind, shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day, still be standing. There wouldn't be any ashes there. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. For so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man that save the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So in the idea of salvation and eternal life, Christ is all. Yes. He's the only. If you're not saved by Christ, you're not saved at all.
Right.
To put it that simple. So let me wrap this up here and notice that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Mark chapter 8, verse 13, Jesus asked the question to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What a question. And a question that every individual ought to be able to answer, or ought to try to answer. If you're here tonight without Christ, you need to consider this question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon, in Luke chapter 28 and 30, he took up him, that is the baby Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was holding up the baby Jesus. And even at that point, he was Christ. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. John said this in 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Father, the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. Christ is the Almighty. He is the balm of Gilead, as the scripture tells us. And he is the captain of our salvation. He is the deliverer. He is the elect of God and the express image of God. He is the faithful witness. He is the gift of God. He is the great shepherd and the high priest. He is the head over all things. He is the King of glory. He is the Lamb of God and the lawgiver. In other words, Christ is all. Yes. Now the question must be asked and must be answered: whom do you say that he is here tonight? The person who seeks God seeks forgiveness, seeks justification, seeks mercy, must first learn that Jesus Christ is all. If you desire to be saved, then you must seek Christ. If you truly desire to be saved, you'll find Christ. That's a promise. And when you find Christ, you'll find eternal life. And you'll find joy that you never dreamed existed. You'll find a relationship with other Christian people that you could not ever understand before. Why do these people act the way they do? What is it? What is it that they have that I don't have? When you find Christ, you'll find that.
Right.
Can I explain it? No. Except we have one common thread that binds us together, and that's Christ. And the bonding that brings us together is the Holy Spirit, which abides in us all. So I ask, what is Christ to you as an individual? You know, to some people, he's nothing. We see that demonstrated. You know, we see things happening every week that we never dreamed could ever happen. Isn't that amazing? Is that amazing how quickly things are happening? And to some people, Christ means nothing whatsoever. To some people, he means something, but not much. You know, Roman Catholics make a semblance of being Christian. And they go through the motions. But unless they know Christ as I know him, they don't know him at all. To some, he means something, but not much. Hey, you can see this happening at Christmas time, can't you? People get so religious and so cozy with God during the so-called Christmas holiday. But really, he doesn't mean much, because when it's all over and they tear that tree down, they forget about him until the next pagan holiday. To some, he means something, but not much. To others, he means a great deal, but not everything. What's he mean to you tonight? What's he mean to you, child of God, tonight? Does he mean a great deal? He should mean more than a great deal.
Right.
For those who know him, Christ is all. Amen. May God bless you tonight. Thank you.